Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters, and there he is. He's even later than Cousin Shane is to this damn thing. Chris Barler.
I'm on time.
Vern Dummyquist. What's up, brother?
What's up, dude? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. We had a late cancellation, so I figured...
You don't have to mention that.
There's no one better to have on.
Off the bat, you didn't have to... We're here with a backup.
Well, Steven, our buddy Steven is always here on Monday, but he's on Athlon... sports magazine, at the college football magazine, and they're up against a deadline, so he couldn't make it. But your cousin Chris, I mean, we're just as lucky to have you.
You are, for sure. Hey, also, let me first off, the Wi-Fi is fantastic right now, so let's us all acknowledge it. Second off,
what happened to the bangs?
Oh yeah, I came on with some Bama bangs. Mike didn't like it. Here's my question. Did this Tim Skelton go to Georgia College and State University?
No, he's a big Ole Miss guy.
But just ask him if he went there, though. Or I guess I could ask him.
You're not allowed to talk to him.
Okay, sorry. My bad, Tim. Here's my question for you, Mike. What does Shane do for like a day job?
I'm not allowed to say. But I will say, Tony Canada, welcome to the family. He's the latest become a member of the channel. Sorry, I'm trying to cut you off here, but why do you need to know that? I mean, Shane is a very secretive man.
A lot of golf.
Oh yeah, no, I think he quit his day job.
That's cool.
Just so he could do this, and apparently, I think he's more into golf than he is this now.
I mean, why wouldn't you be? To be honest, it's fair. How was your weekend? Probably not very busy. Not a lot of Tennessee guys drafted.
What are you talking about? They were dominant. Dominated all the first round, second round. Yeah. I mean, just picks galore.
Yeah, and then you won a baseball series. It's an everything school, that's for sure.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't pay attention to baseball.
Did you make... What? Oh, yeah, I did.
Well, hey, we're off to one hell of a start. I was trying to praise you. I was going to give you some props. How about Alabama? Not a single scholarship player entered the portal in the spring period. Kalen DeBoer is the seeds of what he's building showing itself. And before you answer that question, Horton hears you. Just gifted a membership. We appreciate you, Horton. Let's see who he gave it to. I'm much more rather talked about old Horton than old Bama doing well. But that's the theme of what we're going for on this episode, Chris. Who can realistically make the college football playoff in 2025? And shout out Evan Grimes. Big Evan. He's a big Georgia guy. He's all over. He's on every damn show, I think. I think he subscribes to every show. Evan, welcome to the family. We got to start with Georgia then, since he's a new member.
No, we'll start with Bama. Evan, I love Evan to death. I don't want to talk about Kalen DeBoer's seed, as you asked, for one. Two, I think it is really important. Like, if you look at On3, who, yes, I did make that show last week. I don't know why. I don't have a link to
it. What show are they talking about?
Ari and Andy brought up one of my tweets. I don't know which one it was. I'm sure it wasn't any of the several making fun of most things that Ari Wasserman has said about the SEC, because all of those have been pretty mean-spirited on my end. Mm. But I will say, so I think On3 had Bama's class ranked last in terms of like what they brought in versus what they lost. They lost 24 players. Dude, if you look at the numbers over the last several seasons, I don't have all the numbers in front of me going off like top of my head. But I do know that last year they lost 41. This year they lost 24. That's 65 players in two seasons. You know that, like, this is
rebuild.
Like, what I kept trying to say last year was they had, like, you lost 41 players, and I forgot how many they brought in. It wasn't 41. And whatever they are bringing in, like, you know as well as I do, like, the exchange rate on that is not five-star to five-star. Like there were – it wasn't like that entire roster that they lost was Caleb Downs-type players. But, like, there's only so many of that kind of talent that you're bringing in. I think they did a much better job this year. They lost 24 total players. They brought in, I think, 11, or maybe it was 9. I think it was 9 or 11. I don't know. It's an awkward set of numbers to bring up. But anyway, so they didn't lose as many. I don't know what that means, though, because, like, it's good that the retention is there. But, like, my main concerns are you going to be deeper on first and second string, especially on defense? Because on defense, once you saw Keon Sab go out, a couple of those other guys, like, you know, like Q Rusar, like, that was always a huge problem for them. They had no depth.
Shout out Cousin Brian. He says, I don't think Bama can make it past Vandy.
I wish he wasn't an Oklahoma fan so I could talk to him.
No, that's great. But, you know, how many draft picks did Bama have?
I think it was 7.
Okay, so more draft picks than conference wins. That's fantastic. Off to a great start.
Games.
I was trying to spin it as they didn't get enough wins, but then I remember they did. But but seriously, what's your thoughts on Alabama? Are you going in? Are we expecting the playoff? I mean, I think we're still in the mode where we're always anticipating it for Alabama. But, you know, let's not kid ourselves, Chris. I mean, hell, we got Oklahoma fans trolling you about Vanderbilt.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I mean,
wait, crazy. Let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
Shut your mouth. Some of the mystique was gone when you lose to Vanderbilt in the fashion they did. And I'm just saying, like, ruling the sport. They no longer, and quite frankly, they haven't been ruling it for, I think, maybe a year or two prior. But I think the intimidation, the mystique is completely gone.
Yeah. How many SEC championships has Bama won in the last 2 years? Is it zero?
With DeBoer?
Is it zero?
With DeBoer, zero.
You brought up the last couple of years, right? So is it zero? Is the answer zero?
With DeBoer? Yeah.
Is the team that won it last year, did they beat Alabama?
Wait, no, he coaches Alabama.
No. The team that won the SEC championship last year, did they beat Alabama when they played them? No, they did not.
The refs cheated them.
Making sure we're all on the same page here. I understand they lost to Vandy. I understand they lost to Oklahoma. And I'm happy that Oklahoma got to have one shining moment last year. Out of all the days of the year, one out of the 365, they got to hang their hats on something. And that's fantastic. That's very, very exciting. Quit kissing that. Carl, good Lord. But here's the thing. I am all in on Bama this year. I don't know if they're going to make the playoff. I think the schedule doesn't get any easier, right? Like, you do get Tennessee at home. You get OU at home. The two ones that concern me are the ones on the far far right with
Florida State and Vanderbilt.
What's that?
Vanderbilt and Florida State.
That revenge game against Vanderbilt is going to be that's going to do numbers, brother. I think the other thing too is you look at the numbers here. I mean, dude, they're going on the road, like a true road game, to open the season at Florida State, Wisconsin at home. Those are at least teams that should be better than they were a year ago, and they're Power Four teams. But Georgia and Auburn on the road, those both feel like losses to me. And here's the thing with this new day and age of the the 12-team playoff. Even what we saw last year, you saw a 9-3 team that beat Georgia, that beat the SEC champion. They did not get in. You cannot lose three games in the SEC and just assume you're going to get in. And I think that's what a lot of SEC fans thought before last year. It was just kind of like, oh, well, you know, we're going to get even more teams in. It's like you saw from day one that was not going to be the case, even in the 12-team playoff. So I think those two games worry me the most. The Auburn game, the reason it worries me the most, Mike, is it's in Jordan-Hare. That's obviously been a nightmare. It's going to be DeBoer's first trip there. Auburn's going to be, I think, a lot better this year. I wish I wasn't wearing this stupid hat, but I'm being held at gunpoint by my girlfriend over to my left. But the thing is, I just got an evil glare. But the thing is, that's his first trip. And if you go to Auburn with two losses already, then it's a must-win. And then it's even more difficult.
But and what's your thoughts on Ty Simpson seemingly running away with the quarterback competition? Because I feel like that's a great sign. You know, that tells me he's in command. Had he been in, it's still a competition. But if it was neck and neck coming out of the spring, that would worry me more than the coaches saying, yeah, if we start today, he's our starter.
Are you okay?
Okay, SEC Cousin Shane. Where's the fat guy?
Thanks, dude. That kind of makes me – that's a great – is that Cousin Shane's logo? Because that's
– Yes, it is. Cousin Shane. Go follow his channel, SEC Cousin Shane. He's trying to build it from scratch here.
I love it. So here's the thing. I think – I love that you're being so complimentary of Bama. It's very odd to me because I've never in our entire existence of knowing each other ever even seen you do that, even when they were great and you know, 2018, 2019. But here's the thing. I think
2019, they got their ass whooped by LSU.
They lost by 5 at home. I don't know.
Ass whooping.
Okay. I knew as soon as I said 19, you were going to be a dick about it. But here's the thing. So I think that they, like I said, they should be really good. I think that what you're hoping for, if you're a Bama fan, is you're hoping for a remake of 2020. And I don't mean for the national championship. I mean COVID. You want a global pandemic for sure. No. I think the quarterback situation where you had Mac Jones coming out of that quarterback situation where it's like him and Bryce Young. Bryce Young comes in as a massively highly rated recruit. Listen, keep in mind that people don't talk a lot about this, but okay. So the what do you call it? Okay. Sorry, this is your own fault because my ADD is way too much for this. But here's the thing: you have a situation where you have Keelan Russell coming in. Keelan Russell is the highest ranked recruit in the history of Alabama football. That's really, really saying something when you think about the guys like Bryce Young and Julio Jones and some of those other guys.
So he's the Quinn Ewers of Alabama, you're saying.
I hate you so much sometimes. But Bryce Young was pretty much the same type of ranked player coming in, same type of like national success, comes from a couple states away. Obviously, Bryce Young from California, Keelan Russell from Texas. But you come in with a ton of hype, and you go up against a guy that's returning for his third or fourth year, and they know the offense at the very least, and they're more familiar with it. They know the playbook and all that stuff, and they're also a veteran that's been going up against – I'm not saying that Georgia and Bama are the same at this point, especially defensively, but when you see Georgia and those players that go – like the best players that Georgia will sometimes play, like, against their entire career, come against them in practice. Like if you're not a starter especially. And so that's what he's been going up against constantly for 3 or 4 years – and now he has a chance to become the starter. And I think it's only a good thing if he's the guy. I also have a very hard time believing Keelan Russell will not see the field because he's too talented to try and keep on the sideline the entire year.
Could it be a situation where it's like a DJ Lagway where he comes in and saves the season at the end of it? DJ Lagway saved the season for Florida. I mean, Billy Napier is going to get fired and then emerges as freshman. And now all of a sudden everybody's like, God, Florida we'll talk about them in a minute, but Florida, you know, maybe they can make the playoff. That might be a bit too much, but nobody was saying that after they got destroyed by Miami, destroyed by A&M.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing with Florida, especially, is the fact that that schedule itself is like, there was just no, yeah, I saw that. That's unbelievable. This man painted his fucking face as a grown ass adult and is out here throwing insults out. That is
shout out Cousin Jibs, scene,
brother.
Says Chris looks like he drives an ice cream truck. That may be the funniest thing everyone's said on this channel.
I think it'd be awesome driving an ice cream truck. I thought about that in my 20s, like when I was doing comedy, just get an ice cream truck and tour the country, but and make all your money just selling ice cream all day. You know what I mean? That sounds like a fantastic job. No, Florida, I think the thing that sucks for Napier is that, like, you know, there were jokes being made. The moment the 2024 schedule came out, and Mike, if you remember this was in 2023, the summer of 2023, and that came out, everyone was already talking about how his job was going to be lost. He was on the hot seat already. And that was for a season that was 2 seasons away, right?
Right.
So then when he comes in and he becomes like, you know, he has a phenomenal end of the year. It started off pretty rocky, all that kind of stuff, but they win however many games in a row to close the year. We joked around about how if they got to 5 wins, he should have been SEC coach of the year. He gets him to 8 and really didn't sniff that. I hate that he's going right back into what is an absolute gauntlet of a schedule, and it doesn't get any easier even like in the non-con. So, you know, I don't think that they're going to make the playoff strictly because of this. You look at the schedule and the way it was last year versus this year, at the very least, the stuff that you have, like even for revenge games, they're all on the road. Like getting LSU in Death Valley, having Ole Miss on the road late in the season when they could also be trying to gun for a spot in the playoff. Miami on the road isn't really a thing, but like just being away from the swamp, this team and program doesn't feel like they're super used to playing away from home in the month of September.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I think all these, like you were saying, Chris, all this nice talk about Alabama, that is spreading some joy because Stephen Up just became a member. We appreciate you, buddy. Welcome to the family. It's my favorite Alabama fan. So you immediately jumped to Florida. So you're out on Florida. You don't think they could do it just because there's so many difficult road games? I mean,
yeah,
you said it yourself. I mean, if they go 10-2 with this, hell, with 9-3 with this schedule may get you in, but.
But here's the thing, though. We just don't know that. And I think DJ Lagway could be great. And I think, like, listen, that team last year was much better than we gave it credit for. There's just so many uphill battles that they have to cross because of what is on that schedule. Like 8 wins a year ago is a massive deal, man. Like, that is a really, especially coming from where they were, I feel like, or like what people like thought they were going to do. And DJ Lagway, I think he's going to be great. If I'm being honest, I think some of the hype he's getting is a little bit much just because he hasn't had to start yet. In like a full season, you're looking at a guy that had 12 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. And I understand, that sounds awesome, Carl. Yes. Wait, why is that not a thing? Hold on, Mike. Why is that not a thing?
Yeah, Cousin Carl says, imagine an ice cream truck, but with cold beers, my favorite sound, but as an adult. He might be onto something here.
That's great. So I don't know. And I think that when you talk about Florida getting there, there's just way more things that have to go right for Florida than can go wrong. And making a jump even from – because the 8 wins, listen, the 8th one came in a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
The Gasparilla Bowl. Like – making a jump from going from 7 wins to 10, which is where you probably need to be, is a lot more difficult. It's one thing to be like, hey, well, you know, we upset LSU last year and now you got to go do it on the road, or you can beat Georgia for the first time or the second time in like, you know, 8 years. Like, that's a big, big mountain to climb.
Yeah. All right. So Florida, you're out on in terms of making the playoff is your expectations. Alabama, you know, it sounds like you're on the fence. Who is?
No. Bama's in. That defense is going to be legit, man. Like Bama's going to be very good this year.
Okay, you're on the fence. Who do you got fully in? Comes to your head, you're saying, all right, this team, who's your most confident team in the SEC makes college football playoff?
All right, so I just want to point this out. I said this last year, the 3 that were locks to make the playoff, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee. And it was largely in part because of their schedules, right? Mm-hmm. I immediately go to what schedule each team has from last year because it's just mirrored, even though it's different times of year. Like, it's the same teams, though. I think that Ole Miss is a team that is going to be a lot more focused. My question is, how do they replace the draft, like the guys they lost in the draft? I mean, you lost 8 players in the draft, which is – I don't know if it's the most all time, but it feels like it would almost have to be considering, like, where some of those Ole Miss teams have been and that program. I do think, though, no one's talking about Austin Simmons. And here's the one thing that I know about Lane Kiffin. He will always have a quarterback. Always, always, always. In 8 of his last 11 years, this includes when he was the OC at Bama, but in 8 of his last 11 years, his quarterback has thrown for at least 3,000 yards and or put up at least 30 touchdowns. That's phenomenal. That's a phenomenal track record. I don't see that going away. We saw this kid last year in very limited sample size, but I do think they're going to be good. And here's the other thing, too. Pete Golding, finally getting like his due. He's been great as well, and so I think.
Will you apologize to Pete Golding for all the negative things you said about him as Alabama's defensive coordinator?
If you can show me what I said negatively about him, then I will. Because I tell you what, people complaining about that 2021 offense and defense, and talking about how they needed to go when you had a top 10 offense in the country. When Bill O'Brien had a top 10 offense for 2 years in a row, and everyone just wanted him gone immediately because they hated his chin, which is fine.
I still can't believe he got a DUI. He didn't get in trouble. Remember that?
Bill O'Brien did?
No. Pete Golding.
Oh.
When he was defensive coordinator.
Did he not? He got arrested, right?
Well, I mean, trouble with Saban, you know? Wrong place, wrong time, Saban.
Allie's laughing hysterically as an Auburn fan back here. That's nice. Good Nate Oates reference. That's good. Moving on from that, I'm not gonna get into that.
Ole Miss, when I say who's gonna make a playoff, you jump immediately to Ole Miss because of the schedule and Lane Kiffin's track record.
And I think what he's gonna do at quarterback. I mean, like, look at that month of September.
They gotta play Tulane. Tulane, September 20th.
That fucking what happened to Gumby? Gumby just with a thyroid condition is so scary.
Washington State, they're always spicy.
Tell me where the losses are.
Well, they can't beat Kentucky to save their life. LSU, Georgia.
One goes into Kroger Field in the month of September. It's a snake pit.
I think Florida's going to be even better. Florida whooped their ass last year.
Yeah, they did. That was unbelievable. They get a week off for Mississippi State. Whoever did the schedule is an idiot. I will say that. Like that is an all-time bonehead decision. I mean, you could have scheduled the bye before any other team, including the Citadel, and it would have been more like wisely used. But
So this doesn't concern you at all. Dead last in offensive returning production in the conference. Defensive returning production. Now they are killing it in the transfer portal. So you think that kind of evens it out?
Yeah, and I think that, again, going back to the schedule, I think they lose to Georgia on the road. I think they lose at home to LSU, but that's probably about it. Like I don't see them losing at OU. I don't think they'll lose to South Carolina at home in that game at least. You know, because I have a lot of questions about South Carolina's defense as much as I think me and a lot of other people are going to be rooting for them this year. But I do think those are the four teams as of today that I would say I feel like are locks to get in because – you know, again, like maybe I'm putting too much stock in the schedule since it's still the month of April. But I mean, like the other teams that you would want to look at, right? Like I think A&M and South Carolina and LSU are the main ones. But again, LSU and South Carolina both having games.
Well, hold on, Chris. We're 21 minutes in here, and you're hitting all these teams. We got time. We got time here. I want to shout out the legend, Jarrett. We got sound effects now, Chris. I don't know if you've heard any of these.
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
JR, what a legend. He just gifted another membership, this time to Brad Chrysler. Brad, welcome to the family, courtesy of the legend JR.
Memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by cousin JR.
This is like the Coors Light. Coors Light, cold hard facts.
I mean, it sounds just like that guy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, so we appreciate you, JR. What a man. What a man you are. If we were doing cousins that are going to make the college football playoff, yeah. JR's right there. But he's a Georgia fan, so let's talk some Georgia.
Yeah. I think they're going to be really good.
You don't automatically put them in there? Any reservations? Paul Feinbaum says they don't have an offensive coordinator. Do they have a quarterback? Okay. I can't believe somebody asked Kirby that. I mean – Again, I'm not this like guy that like media's awful, media's bad, but who in the hell's asked Kirby Smart? You know, did you see what Paul Feinbaum said about your offense? Like that was a real question they asked him this spring in the press. Like how stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I've asked Kirby Smart some bad questions, but I mean,
not that bad though, right?
Not that bad. No, most of mine are just too long winded. And then I get to a punchline and he's like, what? And I'm like, Kevin, see you later, dude.
You're like, hey, you know, you're 12-0 against the spread, and he's like, "What's the spread?"
Yeah, and I was like, "Your mom." And I just ran off. No, he is. I think the thing with Kirby is that he is going to come into a season locked in, and then also he's going to come into a season with a chip on his shoulder, and that is a scary, scary thing for everybody. Georgia consistently has some of the fewest amount of players leaving the portal. They lost a couple of guys this year. I think was it Julian Humphrey, the kid, the TikTok kid that went to A&M,
right.
It's like a former 4 or 5 star. I mean, mm-hmm. they lost some guys, but they still have guys like in that, like Ellis Robinson hasn't really scratched the surface yet. You still got who's the kid number 4 that was a starter as a 5 star from Buford, Georgia, that kid that they got over Florida.
Whoa.
State. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I lost. You completely lost me because. Oh, Sancho McDose just gifted 20 memberships. I think that may be the highest we've ever. I think someone did 50 one time, but
what does that mean?
Good God, that means they just paid $100 for people to be members to the channel. So this is a long list: Colin, John Westfall, Mike and Nim, Eric Twist, August Vance, Carolina Cooter. That's Chris's screen name right there. Brandon Tully, SHX50, I think that says. Jason Crownover, Oot32, Man with the Plan, Roger Woods, Kevin James, Ill C something, Picky, McSniffery, these fucking names. You've all been gifted memberships. I think I even left a couple out. I'm sorry. Hank's there, and Brett Springer have all been gifted memberships. And how about it, Cousin Shane, he's in here. He didn't get one. What the hell?
Unbelievable. Sancho, you maniac.
Damn, what a guy. Sancho McDussel. He's clearly a Longhorn. So let's talk some Texas.
Okay.
Oh, what the hell? Get the hell out of here, you damn Texas hater. What? You make that sound again. I'm kicking you off here.
I don't hate Texas. I hate their fans. Their fans are ridiculous.
They got the best damn fans
in the land. Okay, so that first game is going to, feed families. That's unbelievable. What is happening? That's going to be awesome. I love the fact that, I think that they are good enough to beat Ohio State on the road. Like, here's the thing with Ohio State that people aren't really talking enough about. Not only do they lose a ton of talent, because they have some coming back, obviously, they're Ohio State. I think they're going to be fine at quarterback. I think Julian Sain's going to be awesome. That's the last quarterback that Saban ever recruited. I think he's going to be a very, very good player, obviously, because what quarterback struggles in that offense for Ohio State? Now,
did you know your coach didn't know his fucking name? That's why he's not at Alabama, apparently?
I don't believe that for a second.
Did you? You have heard that, though, right?
No, I've not.
So apparently, when Kalen DeBoer got in there.
Oh, Kalen DeBoer didn't know his name?
Kalen DeBoer, we first got there. Julian Sain came in with his mom and his dad.
Yeah, his dad.
And he said, "What's your name, or how do you spell your name?" I think that's what it, like he was unfamiliar with this vaunted recruit that he and Julian Sain said, "Well, the hell with this. I'm not putting my trust in this man."
I mean, nor should he have if that was the case. I mean, that's insane. Like, that's an insane thing to say. but dude, like, for real, who when you go through the numbers and think about like how good that program has been, everyone's gonna be fine for a quarterback. Like, they're gonna be fine. Julian Sands is gonna be great. The main thing I have for Ohio State is that they lost both coordinators. It's very hard to do that. It's very hard to replace that in this day and age and still be good. I love what Sark has built, the consistency that he's built. I love right here, you have the bottom here with his wins, 12 and 13, which is damn near close to the amount of NFL draft picks they've had. What he's been able to build, and people don't know this a lot about Texas. When he first got to Texas, the thing that's most impressive what Sark has done, we all knew he was going to have a great offense. We all knew he was going to be able to have like an explosive offense with playmakers, and he was going to get his pick of the litter from 5 stars and athletes and wide receivers and running backs and quarterbacks really across the country. But when he got there, there were 8 total offensive linemen on that roster. There were 23 wide receivers. Like, he had to build this thing and to be SEC ready and build it from the inside out, from the trenches, like from the ground up. And he's done a tremendous job with that. I think Texas is going to be really, really good this year. I think the arch hype is a little bit much, but I do think that he is going to be better than Quinn Ewers when the season is over with. Like, statistically, I think he's probably – I'm not saying this is a knock on Ewers. I'm just saying it because of his track record. I think Arch might be a little bit more durable than Ewers. That's a guy that missed at least 2.5-3 games in every single season he was in Texas. So I think that, Arch is going to be a good quarterback in that system. And I love when a talented quarterback sits and waits. Outside of really Nico last year and maybe DJ, you all.
But that worked out.
Yeah, but outside of him, I love when that happens. Like Carson Beck, Bryce Young, some of those guys that sit at least a year and then wait, and they put up really, really good seasons.
What is your realistic expectations for Arch Manning, though? Do you think he'll be a Heisman contender?
Yeah, again, they could have some, like, they could see the entire playbook here because he's going to be able to run a little bit in this offense. I think they're going to have obviously they're going to be really good at receiver. I know they lost a couple of key contributors there and they lost a tight end for the second year in a row, but they've got so much talent on the roster still and so much talent they're bringing in. I think that you're going to see the entire playbook. What does he do really, really well? He loves to throw the deep ball by his own admission and by Sark's own admission. It's one of the things they did probably a little bit too much in his first start against Louisiana Monroe last year, but he loves it. I think it was Louisiana Monroe. He loves to throw the deep ball, and he can also run a little bit. So at the very least, like you didn't have defenses having to, like, you could stack the box against Texas last year and play man if you wanted to, and see where it got you. You didn't have to be fearful or concerned about Quinn Ewers running the football. You were going to have to be able to defend the entire playbook now against Texas, which is not something teams had to do the last 2 years.
Has Arch Manning killed more animals than Quinn Ewers? That's an important question.
Concerning amount of animals. It just kept, like, the tweet of the year. The tweet of the year was somebody was like, this man has killed a different animal every hour he hasn't been drafted, and we're still talking about Shadur Sandwich. That was wild. Are we gonna talk about them next?
Yeah, how about another legend? Cousin Rick just gifted $20. Actually, it was a minute ago, but I lost track of it. He's a huge Aggie. So let's talk some A&M. Chris, do you think A&M? I think right now I got him fifth in the power rankings. I mean, I'm trying not to overdo it again with the Aggie offseason hype, but year two, Mike Elko, I think they're going to be knocking at the door of the playoff again.
Well, they weren't knocking at it this year, but yeah.
They were. If they beat Texas, they're in the playoff.
If they beat Texas, okay. I mean, that would have brought them 9 wins, and they would have had a win in the SEC championship.
Knocking on the door. That's what we call it, man. Or, you know, had they beaten Auburn? How about that? Then they're in.
Right, and then they lost to Auburn, who was 5-7. So, but yes, they also lost by 24 on the road against South. I mean, listen here, they were 7-1. Everything from their only loss is to a team that played in the national championship game. Also, it was with a quarterback that was not the starter by the end of the season. I hate what I'm about to say. I hate myself for a lot of reasons. My therapist brings it up all the time. But I hate myself the most right now because I'm buying into A&M. If I'm not saying they're going to make the playoff, but if you are betting on the season, hammer over 7.5. Look at the home schedule, dude. Look at the home schedule. They're not going to lose at Mizzou, right? That's not. They are going to lose to Texas. They are going to lose to LSU. And then you look at the rest of the schedule, and I'm having a hard time understanding where the other losses are coming from. Maybe Notre Dame. I mean, South Carolina, I am a big Carolina fan. I'm a big fan of what Shane Beamer's done and what this team will do. But historically speaking, they're like, what, 2-8 against A&M in the last 10 years? So, you know, I think that they are going to be really, really good this year. I don't know if it's enough to get into the playoff because I worry about them being able to stay focused and do what they haven't done except for one time in like the last, what, like a bazillion years. Like they have not put themselves in a position to get to a playoff or play for a like a national championship or even a conference championship at this point since they've joined the SEC, except for in 2020. And even then, they were left out at 9-1. So I think 8 wins is a lock for A&M. The question is, do they get to 10? I mean, because you're starting out with 2-0, and then things get a little bit dicey with the next two. Love that they have a bye before Auburn, who I think is going to be really good this year. But, man, I love Marcel Reed. I know they got to replace, like, 8 Shamars on the defensive line, but I think they'll still be really good no matter what the name is. I think they're going to be great, man.
What if I were to guarantee you that they beat Notre Dame, what would you think about their playoff odds?
I would say they were in.
Ooh, baby.
Look, Mississippi State sucks. They get Florida at home.
Yeah.
Arkansas is going to be good, maybe?
Maybe Arkansas can turn it now that it's out in Arlington, though.
I don't love that you put the snout and the tail over the outside of the box. Like, the tail looks like it's about to get eaten off by this gator.
Yeah, that's where he's coming for, man.
Yeah, love that. So anyway,
all right, who's next? Who else? What about a team you cover intimately here? LSU, should they be considered? You know, what's your thoughts on them making a playoff? Are they a lock? Are they on the fence? What's your thoughts on all that?
You know, Mike, as the host of Locked On Gamecocks, I really thought you were going to go to South Carolina after that. Yeah. But
well, you covered 9 different teams. They were going to be next.
I'm trying my best. So I think LSU is going to be good. It's going to be tough when they play whatever knockoff Manchester U they have on September 20th. That looks tough. That European soccer team is going to come over here and give them fits for sure.
That's Southeast Louisiana. Don't you disrespect it.
I will. Probably shouldn't really be moving there soon. 3 months, huh? Just got a thumbs down.
You're moving to the Lion?
Yeah, moving in with some Lions. No, I think LSU's going to be really good. I think this is a year where it's kind of make or break for Brian Kelly. Here's one thing that people forget to talk about with LSU from last year. First of all, let's start on defense. They lost, I think his name is Solomon Gilroy.
Mm-hmm. Gilroy.
The kid that tore his AC or his Achilles in like game two, I mean, that was arguably your best interior defensive lineman coming back in a part of your roster that was very, very thin. Remember, like, they were so actively pursuing people that could start or give significant playing time at that position in last year's spring portal window. They didn't come away with anyone, but like that was a very,
because they don't pay people. Remember, we don't pay players to come down here.
That's a very good point. That guy ended up going to Miami shockingly and making like $900,000. At least that's what his asking price was at LSU last year.
And now, like, they're paying.
Yeah. But so then you have that, that's your defensive line. Now you lose two guys off the edge, right? With Swinson and the other kid, I'm forgetting, who just got drafted, but you will have talent there, right? Like, they will be better, I think. They will be, still be good against in the defensive front. The linebacker situation, Harold Perkins was one time, 3 years ago, he was the best defensive player in America. Like, not on his team, not in the SEC. In the country, he was the best defensive player. I don't care what anyone else says. The way he closed out November, he was fantastic in his freshman year. We haven't really seen that version of him, mainly because they keep fucking around and putting him in all these different, like, different positions for no fucking reason. I don't really understand why. But he's coming off ACL surgery. I think he's going to be ready to go. He's going to be good. He's going into a draft eligible year. And you're also coming into a year where you have an instant upgrade at the defensive back position in the secondary as a whole. I know you lost some guys there, but like what you're bringing in, DJ Pickett, a 6'3", 195-pound certified five-star across the board at every single recruiting service you look at, they got better at every level, I think, on defense. Offense, I love Nussmeier. I know that they're going to have a good running back, and they also brought in that freshman, Harlan Berry, who's a five-star, who's doing really well in spring. So they should be deeper there if they run the football. We'll see if that happens. And then you talk about the receivers. They lost a couple guys, but at the same time, they always have guys at that position. And I think this year's receiving group is going to be better than last year's. I don't think that's same at tight end, but I think receivers, they will be. Here's the question, Mike. You had four offensive linemen drafted from last year's team. You lost four guys from last year's offensive line. All four of them got drafted. One of them became the only other offensive, one of two offensive linemen in program history drafted in the first round with Will Campbell. Garrett Nussmeier is great when he is not under pressure. When he's under pressure and has to think on his feet, he tends to make a lot of mistakes. Saw it against A&M, saw it against Florida. But when he is not under pressure, he's fantastic. How does this year's offensive line keep him upright and prevent that from happening when you talk about they're going to be replacing what is essentially the greatest offensive line in program history? That's my biggest concern with them.
Yeah. That's quite an assessment. I think you did an excellent job there. That's where I'm kind of at with them too. How about your South Carolina Gamecocks? Was it a one-off? Can they do it again? Hell, I think they should have made it last year, but we're talking 2025. May have the best damn quarterback in the conference, but man, I was surprised. Let's start with this. How surprised were you that Carolina had so many guys that got drafted so high in the draft? Because, I mean, if you saw the list, it's like, it's Georgia, it's Texas, it's Ohio State, it's South Carolina. They were all top 50. They were leading the entire country in top 50 selections.
Man, how much time do we have for this one? Because I could go on and on about South Carolina. Like, it is so awesome to watch what this program's doing, and it fires me up so fucking much. And I can't say the F word on my podcast, which again is Locked On Gamecocks, shameless plug, so I'm gonna say it here. But it makes me so fucking excited to talk about this team, because they are gonna be so good. I think they have turned the corner as a program. I don't know if they are going to make the playoff. I thought that they were one of the 12 best teams in the country last year. I know they lost to Bama, I know they lost to Ole Miss. I will go to my grave saying that if Alabama had won six straight games after starting 3-3, four of those six games against ranked opponents at the time they played, also had a quarterback that had 17 touchdowns, four interceptions, went on the road and beat a top 15 Clemson, beat A&M like a drum at home, if that logo was on South Carolina's jersey or helmet, they would have made the playoff, flat out. I will go to my grave saying that. They should have been in the playoff last year. They were one of the 12 best teams. But now you look ahead to this year. Them getting those draft picks early didn't surprise me at all. If I'm being honest with you, I thought that it was kind of shocking to me. They only ended up with five. I thought they were dead set on breaking a program record there and that they were going to get at least eight. Rocket Sanders not going late. Boogie Huntley not going. Kai Kruger honestly not going was kind of surprising. The punter that's been there since 1988. Also a guy that ended his career with like an 88% completion percentage on trick plays. So that was pretty impressive. But I think that they're going to be good offensively. I know they replaced a decent amount. They replaced 93.5% of their That's good.
Shout out Liquid.
He's trying to ignore the comments, but that's good, Liquid Flames.
Liquid, Locked On Cock sounds like something you get put on a list with Pickle Nips. Pickle Nips gave us a donation if you missed it.
I think that they're offensively, even though they lost their coordinator, who, let's keep in mind, was pretty bad at the start of the year, which ended up being really good in the last six games. Dowell Loggins was great. He was dialed in. They had everything working. You're going to be really good on offense. They lost 93.5% of their snaps on the interior defensive line or offensive line. I think they still get better. That's an offense that gave up, offensive line that gave up 41 sacks in each of the last two seasons. And why that's so scary is because you did that with Spencer Rattler as your quarterback and Lenore Sellers as your quarterback. Like, that is tough to do. You also have a defense that had, I mean, shit, they had 9 sacks against Oklahoma, and then they had, you know, they were up near the top in the SEC, I think, for most of the year in sacks that they generated on defense. I think the offense is going to be great. I think the receiving core is going to be better. I think they're going to be deeper at running back, so they don't have to be so solely dependent on Rocket Sanders. I think the quarterback situation is only going to get better, obviously. Lenore's had some growing pains at the start of the year last year. People forget about that. The questions I have, man, are, I mean, Dylan Stewart's great. There's going to be some linebackers that we don't know the names of yet. Fred Johnson is going to be a really good linebacker. I think the secondary is going to be really good. But, man, you lost some really, really good talent. Eamon Worry was an All-American and one of the maybe the most physically talented defender you've had since Clowney, right? Like, just from, like, a physicality standpoint. You lose Kyle Kennard, who led the SEC in snacks, and won the Nagurski Award. You lose all 3 starting linebackers. So, like, this is a defense that Clayton White has consistently overachieved with, and he's been awesome. Like, he has been – like, the fact that he's not talked about more as a nationally acclaimed, for lack of better words, defensive coordinator is shocking to me because he has been awesome. They have been top they've led the SEC in total turnovers forced in the last 4 seasons combined. I think it's like 84, 88, something like that total. They're going to need to do that this year because I think that defense is going to be a little more bend – in the bend but don't break type of style they've played the past couple of years.
Mm. So you're not, you hit on it, but you kind of overlooked it. Now Loggins, you don't think that's a loss?
I don't know if it's a loss. I'm not saying it won't be a loss because he was so good at the end of the year. I think that one of the things that Beamer's done a really, really tremendous job of is like the staff that he has in place. They have done a great job at continuity and also figuring out a way to like build within. There's a reason why you don't see them constantly going to the portal and overextending themselves for guys in the portal. Here's another thing too, Mike. I don't care how this sounds. People can laugh and scoff at this, but I urge you before you fucking come at me with what I'm about to say that you do the research because you need to talk about Shane Beamer in a way that is like he deserves the benefit of the doubt and this staff deserves the benefit of the doubt on the way they've attacked the portal and the development they've had from there. Because the guys that they have evaluated, recruited, got on campus, and then developed into pretty strong talent and NFL draft picks now has been – I mean, there haven't been a lot of misses, man. Like, you went and got Rocket Sanders, and he was tremendous for you. You went and got Spencer Rattler. He becomes the first quarterback you've had drafted since 1988, like as a program, right? And then you talk about, like, they had 5 guys drafted this weekend, Mike. They had 5 guys drafted this weekend. All 5 were 3 stars out of high school. Demetrius Knight Jr., who may end up being the best the whole bunch for a pro career, that guy was a 3-star dual-threat quarterback. He ends up being like an all-SEC-type linebacker at South Carolina last year that is one of the most physically impressive kids you'll see. They have done a tremendous job.
Yes, they have. Excellent. Excellent response there. So you got South Carolina. How about you want to talk schedules, buddy? Mizzou, come on. This is the easiest damn schedule the SEC's ever put together here.
Oh, it's not either.
It's not?
They got to play the Purple Bears to start. Now, the Red Bears, that's one thing. Purple, I don't think so, dude. Did you ever watch, what was that show?
Care Bears?
Legends of the Hidden Temple? the Purple Barracudas or whatever. That, I mean, listen, you got to face them on. That's a deep cut. I tell you what, we're not talking enough about Mike, is that game on September 6th is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
That's a fun rivalry that the SEC doesn't know enough about. How the fuck does Missouri get 8 home games again? This team, like, they don't leave the state until it's hot. Like, we're going to be on our third viewing of Hocus Pocus by the time these assholes leave the state. And I love Missouri. I love Missouri. So I shouldn't have called them a-holes. But at the same time, brother, what are we doing here? How does this happen?
I had a Mizzou guy on. He said they're actually upset with the schedule. Can you believe it? Because he said 4 of the last 6 are away games.
That's so tough. It's almost like you're in control of it. You know what I mean? Yeah, well, you know, it's tough also because you're coming on the second part of a home-and-home against the worst team in the entire country, UMass, and you scheduled an away game in there last year. I do love this program. I love what Drinkwitz has done to it. I think they have quietly done something that people – haven't like talked about enough when it comes to them, which is, dude, they have FKU, Tony, M-I-Z. They have done a tremendous job of putting resources into this program, and people love to shit on Missouri. They love to make these low hanging fruit jokes about, oh, they don't belong in the SEC and Drinkwitz is a nerd or whatever. Dude, this team, there's not a lot of other teams in the conference that have gone 21-5 over the last 2 years. There's not. Not a lot of teams have had back-to-back 10-win seasons. It's so funny to me that people still want to shit on Mizzou like they haven't been one of the more, at least, like, maybe you call it overachieving or you can call it consistently above average. Either way, I mean, Missouri is a good program. And the thing that it makes me very confident that they are not going to go away, teams like Vanderbilt, that was an awesome storyline last year. They will go away. Mississippi State, loved under Mike Leach. They have clearly already gone away, right? But like a team like Missouri is putting in a ton of resources into this football program and doing stuff with NIL way ahead of the curve of anyone else. So I like where they're headed as a program. I do not think that they are going to make the playoff or anything crazy like that. But I think 8 wins is going to be on the table for them this year.
Yeah, you forgot Alabama going away. All right, how about Oklahoma? They're getting a ton of hype. Why? I think the best offseason in the conferences this year. Could I know their schedule's a damn gauntlet starting October 11th, but any shot in hell that this is a playoff caliber team?
No, but they should be better. I tell you what, that Michigan game is going to be fun. It should not get a lot of attention because it's not, you know, it's just not. Mike, you have a different color for the away than you have in the actual boxes. There's so much to work on. So why are they going to Temple, by the way? Why are we playing at Temple?
Payday. You got to pay John Mateer somehow.
That's also fair. Yeah, Temple paying $1.5 million to play Oklahoma. No, I think that this man who Skeletor is terrifying, just absolutely a terrifying individual. By the way, he just looks like a more stretched out skin version of their basketball coach, Porter Moser. Porter Moser looks like the if there was a movie in the 80s about Brent Venables, Porter Moser would just be like his asshole brother who's home for college for the weekend. Anyway, how is he already not a YouTube member? That guy,
yeah, geez Louise, we appreciate you, brother. Welcome to the family. He just became a member. I think everybody on here got a membership except geez Louise, but we appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah. Look, somebody's starting to like me. They said, Dad. So here's the thing. I think that Oklahoma is going to be very much improved this year. The thing that they had a hard time with, I don't think Brent Venables is going to be fired, my man, because Brent Venables got a contract extension last year. So I still don't think he's going to get fired, right? I mean, like, unless I'm crazy.
I think after all this hype, if they go like 6-6, 7-5, I think they'll fire his ass.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Well, hold on. Do you want me to answer this one first?
Yeah. Let's do this real quick because he gave us a donation. Shout out, cousin Brian Moore. Curious, how much different would it turn out if each team played opponents that aren't currently on the 2025 schedule, like Texas, South Carolina, Texas, Tennessee? Ooh.
Texas, man. Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, Texas, South Carolina. Like you can keep going for Texas. And I wish they would. I really wish they would. It's unbelievable. Dude, it's so it's so funny and they get so upset about it, but it's like, if you just, I showed this the other day on Twitter, Mike, like all of their baseball difficult schedule, or like the difficult teams on their schedule, all their baseball schedule has been, all those have been home games. Like every difficult schedule they've played, Georgia, A&M, LSU, Tennessee, and not Tennessee. There's another top 10 team in there. They got to play them all at home. In basketball, they played Tennessee, Kentucky, Bama, Auburn, all at home. Like, it's like their road games. I think they had Arkansas and South Carolina and LSU. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, and then in football, obviously, they had a pretty easy schedule as well.
Jimmy says they paid a lot for their schedule.
I think it's hard to make a schedule that's ever going to seem equitable for all SEC teams and fans. I think we're just built in a way that we're going to complain no matter what. It's why you and I get paid to do this, and it's why we all keep up with this kind of shit for an entire 365 days, and don't just pick it back up in August. But the thing that's so crazy to me is, it's like you look at a team like Georgia, man, and Kirby brought it up in his postgame like speech after they won the SEC championship. It was like, dude, you sent that team to five straight or five different top 20 teams away from home. And then you look at what Texas didn't have to play a team with like a top with a winning record until like early November, late October, something crazy. It was just, you know, so I do think it's an interesting point. I think there's a lot of other teams. Like that's why when I look at this gauntlet, these teams are going to have to go to it. And we don't know which teams are going to be good like or great necessarily, but you kind of have a good idea of it. That's why I always start with the schedule, because the schedule is like when you saw it last year, the teams that like Ole Miss, Tennessee, Texas, those three teams had the easiest schedule, strength of schedule wise, in the entire conference. And two of the three made the playoff.
Yeah. And I saved the best for the last here, Chris.
Oh, I saw it.
Tennessee, come on. Man. Speaking of easy schedules, Vols are, I mean, they're just cruising to the playoff this year, right?
No, they're not going to be good. They're not going to be good.
They got rid of the dead weight quarterback.
I do love the idea that they can go into – they're playing Syracuse. That's an interesting game. I do love the idea that they are – Mike, did you shave for this?
I can't afford it.
Yeah. I do like the schedule. I don't trust them in – well, actually, no, the schedule is – I mean, like, listen, they're losing to Georgia. They're losing to Bama. Are they good enough to beat Florida on the road? They have two wins there since 1971. That's tough. I mean, the schedule is pretty manageable. I think the best thing that you're going to see from this team is you're going to go into a year where they're going to be playing with the chip on their shoulder. And here's the thing. I don't know how much better or worse they're going to be at quarterback. I don't. I do know this. Josh Heupel has been most successful as a head coach when he has a quarterback in this offense that can hit the deep ball, right? Like they can be accurate 20-plus yards down the field. Hendon Hooker was phenomenal in this offense, and that team was phenomenal when he was there. Like point blank period. They struggled obviously with Joe Milton, who was not very accurate, even if he could throw it a mile. And then you talk about Nico, who by all means can throw it a country mile, but also didn't have a ton of accuracy late. I would have loved to see if he developed in that part of his game more here in this program. But he didn't last year. He had 19 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. You all but disappeared in your biggest games. So my question ends up becoming, hey, man, is it whoever replaces him, is it somebody that you already had on campus that we saw in the spring game, or is it the kid you brought in from UCLA and formerly App State? But, like, if that person can be better at hitting deep throws than Nico was, then, yeah, like you're once again probably going to be a shoe-in for the playoff.
Well, it's safe to say they're America's team this year, though, right?
No. What? Absolutely. It is very difficult to make people like Vol Twitter, but they did that. That is one of the craziest. That's a tough. You have to be pretty fucking unlikable to go into a situation and be like, hey, don't you want to side with us, the Iamalievas, or Tennessee? And their fans, and they're like, I guess Tennessee and their fans get a dub here, man.
And apparently, Jake Berklinger got a raise today. I don't know what the hell he did other than Nico leaving the team, but that tells me Tennessee's got confidence in him that he's winning the Heisman. Come on. No. Do you even know who Jake Berklinger is?
Yeah, he used to play. I arm wrestled him one time at a truck stop off Route 44.
He's in my softball league.
He bats fourth. I bat third. If that tells you anything you need to know, brother.
All right. Any other? Did we miss any? I don't think we did. Any other? I mean, Arkansas. I hate it. But how about Auburn? What is Auburn a playoff contender?
Oh no.
Did we lose you?
It's your internet, not mine. We're on full service here.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Bitch. Are we talking about Auburn now?
Yeah. Do you think, I don't know if you can see the screen. I got the schedule. Are they a playoff contender in your mind?
That feels like a stretch, but I do think they're going to be good. I think they're going to win 9 games at least this year. Dude, the schedule, I keep starting with the schedule and I keep going to that. Sure, that's not wrong necessarily with Auburn, because I think they have a good schedule. Look at the GoDaddy Bowl. What a weird name to name a website, GoDaddy. But here's the thing.
I think Hugh Freeze picked that name.
I keep going back and forth between that face and then the GoDaddy Bowl, and it's doing things to my mind. None of them good. So here's the thing. I think that look at them playing Mercer. I'm sure they'll get a lot of crap for that. Not like Bama at all. But also, this is like, I think they've played, what does that say?
It says Auburn is a make a bowl contender.
I thought, no, the guy's shirt. I thought it said STTDS, like suck that Saturday Down South D. I was like, that's a lot. Had a tough one there, Mike. Okay, here's the thing. I think with Auburn, going to Oklahoma is not something they can't overcome. I think they lose at A&M. I think they lose against Georgia, like they always do, by the way. But here's the other part, too. That question. Here's the other question. Like I don't see them losing to Mizzou. I don't see them necessarily losing to Arkansas. They get Kentucky. They're at Vandy. Then they get Mercer. They could go into this Bama game and get into a situation where if they win, they are in the playoff. Here's the one thing I do feel most confident in when it comes to Auburn. I said this last year, and I was probably a year early on it, okay? Shocker, I was premature. But here's the deal. They had as their receiving core year over year from 2023 to 2024, when you insert Cam Coleman, Keandre Lambert-Smith, and then who's the other kid? There was another five-star from like Daphne or Foley.
Matthew
Perry?
Malcolm Simmons.
No, that's this year. Somebody tell me in the comments, it's Perry something. But this year they went and got the kid Singleton from Georgia Tech.
Right.
That kid is going to be really, really good. And they got Jackson Arnold. When they signed Jackson Arnold and paid him $1.2 million in the portal, I thought that was funny because statistically speaking, he was terrible. Like, he was terrible. Perry Thompson, thank you. He was terrible at Oklahoma. But here's the thing about his offense at Oklahoma, Mike. At Oklahoma, they gave up 50 sacks. If you're familiar with Oklahoma, it's their first year in the SEC. They didn't have that kind of struggle offensive line-wise ever in the Big 12, ever. Like, you're talking about a team that gave up consistently between 24 and 26 sacks tops. I think the previous high was like 32. They gave up 50 last year in their first year in the SEC. On top of that, they lost their top five receivers for almost the entirety of the SEC schedule. I mean, they were playing with fucking future electricians and plumbers at receiver for most of the season. Jackson Arnold really struggled. He really struggled. You know who else struggled? The offensive coordinator that was calling plays for him. That's why he was fired halfway through the season. So not only did this kid have to play with a shit-ass offensive line, a terrible, terribly injury-plagued receiving core. I don't want to say that all those players there were terrible, but like very, very injury-plagued, and you're playing with backups at that position all year. And then on top of that, you're playing with two different guys calling plays at half the season. That sucks. Like, I mean, that sucks. I don't know if Hugh Freeze has learned his lesson from what he's what he's done so far at Auburn, especially last year. I'm not one that's going to be in the camp that's going to blame Peyton Thorne for all their problems, because it's not Peyton Thorne's fault that the guy calling plays couldn't just say, hey, you know what? Every time we give 20 fucking carries to Jarquez Hunter, we win by 20 points. That's an actual stat. He also goes for an average of 215 yards every time we do that. Maybe we just give him the fucking ball instead of trying to continue to bash our head up against the wall and throw it deep to guys that aren't catching the ball and to from a quarterback that can't throw it that far accurately. So I think they have that in place now with the receiving core. that is going to be the most improved unit in the entire country for any unit of any team year over year, and a quarterback who is going to at least be, I think, way more confident than the guy you had before and in a much better situation than he was in before.
Hey, don't look at the comments because it'll answer the question. Well, you went right to the comments. I can see, you know, I can see you, right? But where do you know where Seth Luttrell, the offensive coordinator last year at Oklahoma, where he's at now?
Don't say Alabama.
No, he's at Tennessee, and he's already ruining the offense ever since he's got there. Nico's gone.
Yes. Yes. Look at all these nice comments people are making about me right now. Don't say I look skinny.
There you go. That Barler is an encyclopedia of stats. There you go. Is that the one you were talking about?
Waiting for days to get to the F-bomb. Brother, I like halfway through the show, I realized I was allowed to say it again, and I just leaned into it immediately.
All right. Hey, anything else? I think we hit on virtually every team in the conference that'll threaten to make the college football playoff this year.
I agree, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Anything before you go? Where can they find all your stuff? Where can they follow you on social media?
Well, you're going to be on with me on Locked On Gamecocks tomorrow. Yes, you are.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be there. Tune in.
And then Vern Dumquist on CFB. Listen, I'll just say it, Mike. I'll just pat myself on the back. Had a really fun weekend. Had a really fun weekend covering the draft. Had a lot of good stuff. I saw it. Yeah. Ryan Sadler, that's a weird thing for you to say out loud. It's also weird for another grown man to be posting a picture with him and a mascot as his profile picture. So have fun at Chuck E. Cheese and a birthday party you weren't invited to tonight. Anyway, Vern Dumquist on Twitter and Vern Funquist CFB on Instagram. Two different things you always make fun of me for. So there you go.
Yeah, he's the best damn graphics guy out there.
True.
And he's a decent podcast.
Hey, yeah, so, did you see SEC Network stole my stat?
The Kirby one?
Yeah.
I tipped him off.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
I know the guy's name. I can give you his name if you want to berate
tell
him.
Tell me now.
I'll tell you offline.
All right, cool.
All right, I guess that's going to do it. We appreciate each and every one of you. Cousin Shane will be back tomorrow. He'll probably be late because he's probably got golfing to do or something.
Yeah.
Like Marlon wants to shout out. But hey, appreciate each and every one of you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.